Well, the analogies for the love in a family are like the Trinity and the Holy Family. So, no pressure. And yet, at the same time, we have, on this Feast of the Holy Family, we have this very human side of the Holy Family. Because they're all humans. Okay, well, to say that Jesus is a human is... But he's fully human. He's fully man. And he accepts human limitations, including, it seems, his ability to understand that his parents, after 3 days, might be looking for him. Like a 12-year-old, any 12-year-old might have known that. Jesus was apparently one of those 12-year-olds who was like, well, he was really focused in, right? He was really dialed in. He's in the temple, and these temple scholars must have wondered, where did this kid come from? Who is he? They're astounded at his understanding and his answers, and also, where are his parents? oh, that's Jesus. He's, he's the savior of the world, right? And can you just think of the utter sense of like embarrassment? Maybe you don't have to think of it. Maybe you've forgotten your children somewhere. Maybe you've been forgotten somewhere. Well, this is your invitation. It happened to Jesus too. So if you ever got forgotten, you have to get over it. Oh, I see some people getting looks now. You have to get over it because it happened. Even Mary and Joseph left the Savior of the world behind. And that just shows that the humanity of the people in the Holy Family, like, is... I guess that would be one of those things that from an outside perspective would be embarrassing. Like, everybody knows you left your kid in Jerusalem and you had to go back, and you were 3 days late coming back up to Nazareth. But that's great, because it shows that what's really important isn't what the outside world sees. What's really important is the love, the harmony, the communion of persons within the family. And the mistakes that we make and the misunderstandings that happen and the people that get left behind, figuratively or literally, are those moments of communication, sometimes forgiveness, sometimes apologies. And in our case, there would be obviously, there's things that we do that are wrong, that are sinful. And we have to be able to kind of work through, especially work through our pride. Because the key thing here that I see when I have, this is maybe the most amazing sentence in the entire Bible. Jesus went down to Nazareth and was obedient. He follows Mary and Joseph down, and he was obedient to them. God obeyed human beings. They told him to clean his room, and he did. They told him to do the dishes, and he did. I don't know what they told him to do, but he obeyed human beings. God chose. We talk a lot about how Jesus would have chosen his own mother, and he's the only person who ever got to do that, and who would he choose to be his mother? But the same thing we don't talk about as much, but Joseph as his foster father, as the one who would reveal to him, here's what it means to be a man. Here's what it means to have a father's love. Here's what it means to lay down your life for your spouse, which he would do. And he chose Joseph, and he chose Mary as the humans which he would obey. That's like, so the humility of God is so profound here. And I have trouble honoring or in the past obeying my own parents, and I'm not God. There's a parallel here. What God understands is that every 13 and 14-year-old thinks that they know as much as God. Right? I mean, maybe you're 13 and 14 and you don't think that, but it does often happen. I remember thinking that from time to time. I realized that I knew everything and my parents didn't know anything. And then I got a little bit older and I realized, probably for me it was in college, I realized, oh, I don't know anything. Actually, my parents do know a lot. They're not always right. But that's not the point. The thing is here, I think about, I think about Joseph and Jesus, like, and I do wonder, I was wondering yesterday, I was sitting there hearing confessions, or this wasn't during confessions, this was in between confessions, so nothing to do with confessions. I was wondering, you know, Jesus choosing Joseph as his foster father, and he would be the guy to reveal the Father's love. And Jesus is here to reveal the Father's love to us. So his human father would have been kind of important. But did he ever get punished for something that his cousins did and they blamed it on him? You know, did he ever get punished for what his friends did and they blamed it on him? And he would have taken from his father, he wouldn't have been like, Dad, how could you be so wrong? You're wrong. You ever get punished for something and you don't think it's fair and you just want to tell your parents, you are wrong, I'm going on strike, I'm starting a revolt, I was kind of a fiery kid and I had a strong sense of justice and yet Jesus wouldn't have done those things. If he got punished unjustly, I was thinking about that. Well, would Jesus have allowed himself to be punished unjustly? You know? Exactly. I was just about to do that. I don't know. What do you think? That's what his life was. That's what his death was. What humility he did on the cross, what he did for us, laying down his life for us on the cross, would have been previously, perhaps, expressed just in the little injustices. When some of them are that we experience them as significant things. When he laid down his life on the cross for us, unjust punishment, it wasn't the first time, maybe. It certainly wasn't the first time that he lowered himself and humbled himself and allowed himself to be there for others. And without humility, there can be no love, because there can be no vulnerability, because I can never be wrong, and I can never... And you always have to be right. If you're going to punish me, you better be right. If you're going to correct me, you better be right. You know, we should strive. I mean, as parents, you should, of course, strive for that. But, boy, there's going to be time. I cannot believe that Joseph must have had to do the whole group punishment thing. You know, when all the cousins get in trouble, you're all in trouble. Did all of them, were they all responsible? I'm guessing, you know, Jesus didn't sin, so I don't know. He probably still did things that young kids do, but he would have been in the middle of all that messiness of humanity. You know, and he learned and grew just like normal kids. He did not sin, but he did grow in understanding. As I said, he didn't know that his mother would be looking for him. And Mary is like, what? Why are you doing this? She doesn't get it. She's pondering it, but she doesn't immediately make the connection because she's not omniscient. Mary is not completely perfect in her knowledge of everything and like knowing what's going to happen here. She's pondering all these things. A lot of things have been said about Jesus. But maybe it's been a few years since anything's really happened this amazing. And they have to learn to be patient with one another, and they have to learn to be humble and this is something that, on a human level, Jesus also would have learned. He would have learned humility. And he would have said, okay, yes, I will submit and be obedient to my mother and my father. And that, again, is such a profound statement for us. What does that mean for us? I think one of the things that it means is honor your father and mother. And as the scriptures say, you will have a long life and it will go well with you. The only commandment with a promise is the one we hear today. And if you're young enough, obey them. Because God obeyed human beings, you can obey your parents. I don't remember ever hearing a homily on this when I was a kid. Maybe I heard one and I forgot it, but this would have been a really good one for my brother to hear. Would have been a really good one for me and all of my brothers and me as well. If you hear in any of this a sense of like that this is that what the love that God has and the love that God expressed in the Holy Family, if you hear in any of this a sense that this is possible, this kind of love is possible in my family, that's what the Lord wants to say to you and to me. In all of our relationships, whether, you know, maybe you're all grown and your siblings, they don't even live in the same city, but the love that is, even if you don't still live under the same roof, the love that is possible, it's more profound than what I think we often give ourselves, I guess, credit for or the potential for. Because we see our humanity and we see I think sometimes we take the humanity out of the Holy Family, or we think that it would have been easy. Obviously, in some sense, there's special grace that they have. I mean, Jesus is God, right? I mean, Mary's been preserved in a special way. And it was Joseph's fault that Jesus got left behind, because Jesus was now 12. And now he was supposed to travel with the men. But, you know, when he made that mistake, it was kind of like, okay, well, we're humans. It's, in a sense, it's okay. I don't mean that sins are okay, but a lot of the stuff that we do that really gets on each other's nerves, it's not always just sins, right? Maybe we sin by lack of consideration, but a lot of the things that really are difficult, they're just mistakes. They're misunderstandings. They're things that we didn't really understand, that's not a good thing to do for my spouse or my sibling or whoever. And the Lord says to humble ourselves. If someone does make a mistake against you or even sin against you, humble yourself, accept to a certain degree some unjust treatment or even punishment in some cases. And to this humility is so important, without which we can't really open our hearts to love. But what God wants to do in our families, each and every one of us, our families, is to pour His Holy Spirit into the center of that life together, to give us the grace to humble ourselves and open our hearts to the other in understanding, in forgiveness, in an apology, in whatever we need to do, but so that His joy and His harmony could prevail in our families. The peace and harmony and security of the family is like the generator for that powers the rest of your life. Now, this is even true for me, right? I'm celibate. This is even true for me. At the very center, it's our communion with God, okay? But then it's our family relationships. The closest ones first and going out from there, those are supposed to be in harmony, and there's times they're not in perfect harmony. That's, in a sense, that's okay. We don't want to pretend. But we want to have real communion, real love, real forgiveness. Doesn't matter what it looks like to the outside world. The Holy Family looked like a hot mess when they left Jesus behind, but they weren't. Because what was in the inside was what matters. What mattered and what matters. And that love and that communion, that forgiveness, that humility, that, oh, I'm really sorry, you know what, I should apologize. Even though, you know what, I think it's equally your fault. That just happened, by the way, in my family. It's equally your fault. Well, apologize. That means it's 50% your fault. So I did. And the reality of, actually, it was probably more than 50% my fault that time. It's probably more like 80-20. So it's a good thing I apologize, right? That's, if we leave that unattended, or we don't humble ourselves, that energy, that power, that generator that's supposed to be powering the rest of our life, the love, the joy, the peace, the harmony that's supposed to be there, when it isn't, we kind of feel that. Sometimes we really feel that. And the things that happen in the rest of our lives, we're unhappy way over here. Well, why am I unhappy over here? Well, go back all the way to the center. Is everything okay with you and the Lord? How about with you and your parents, children, wife, siblings, maybe grandparents, maybe aunts and uncles? How about those? Because the Lord is desiring so much to make that this source of love, joy, and peace, and harmony that actually allows us to be, you know, you get further out from your God, family, work, you know, you're way out here. There's all this peace and joy that just radiates out from that center, from that core, from that place of stability and love and peace. And if that's there, all of the other storms of life, they're not as bad. They're really not. And I know this because I grew up in an awesome family. And I experienced a great deal of stability in the midst of all kinds of crazy things going on around me. But my family was pretty solid. Not perfect, right? Human and sinners. But the love was there. The Lord is inviting us to receive that love, to receive His Holy Spirit, and to receive the humility to bring this love, joy, and peace and harmony in all our family relationships.